Sometimes people will ask me how it is that I go about coming up with a homily each weekend. Well, I can tell you that in seminary they give us classes as to how one might preach or create a homily. I probably do things a little bit differently. I normally start by reading the readings sometime during the week, and then I kind of wait during the week to see what God will do, and if he gives me something that kind of connects or some way or other. So I'm not sure my professors would exactly approve of this, but I can tell you that today's homily is brought to you by the fact that I listened to a song on the radio yesterday morning on the way up to a funeral, and I wrote it in the confessional yesterday afternoon. That song that I heard on the radio yesterday reminded me of a song that I heard in Walmart the night before, which was very important, which reminded me of a trip to the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art that I had earlier this week. And all that, believe it or not, ties together to make this beautiful piece of homily that you're going to get this morning, complete with music and everything. Maybe take it in reverse, though. Let's start with the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. I went there to see an exhibit on photography. It was a special exhibit by a photographer that had created a work called Dialogue with Solitude in the 1960s. Black and white photos, largely shot in the middle of Manhattan in New York City in a place known as Washington Square, kind of a public little gathering place where people could sit. And the interesting thing about these photos, though, is that the photographer, David Heath, he was able to capture people not in a happy kind of way, but really just kind of sitting there looking destitute. All the pictures are people looking frustrated or often just staring ahead blankly, and you can almost see the weight of the world just in their furrowed brows and their blank stares and their frustration and just kind of a heavy melancholy in every picture. And you know, I would look and see each picture, Washington Square, New York, Washington Square, New York. And I thought how often the photographer would have had to come to Washington Square over and over to capture these pictures, and these people that probably also kept coming there over and over, they just don't look happy. They look unfulfilled. They look unjoyful. And that really reminded me of our reading today, the gospel. This well and the woman that comes to the well. I think this well is a lot like Washington Square, New York today. It would have been a social kind of place where people come to the well, sure, to get water, but they come to socialize, to talk, to see what the news is, much like the water cooler around the office would be a place that is much more than just about water. I think that the well where this woman comes is a lot like that kind of place to socialize. And yet, I imagine that if David Heath, the photographer, could have been there and taken a picture of this woman coming to the well, that she would have looked a lot like those photos I saw on the wall at the Nelson. Probably she was worn out, tired. She's sick of coming to this well every day to gather water. She wonders what difference it makes. No doubt we see that she's had trouble with relationships in life. She's had 5 husbands. Nothing probably seems to be going right for this woman. And she too is just worn out, tired, exhausted, and probably would have been a fitting addition to the exhibit at the Nelson. She too has this desire that is represented by much more than this water. It means a lot more than just water. This woman comes to the well, and it represents more than just her desire for water. She's desiring fulfillment and everything that goes with that. And it's at that moment that she's able to meet Jesus. And when Jesus talks to her about this idea that he has living water, water that will quench her thirst so that she will not get thirsty again, notice how excited she is to say, yes, give me that water. I want that so I don't have to keep coming to this well over and over and getting thirsty again. She wants her thirst to be quenched. Here, just at a natural level, but we know she wants much more than that. Well, this reminded me then a song I heard in Walmart. I was in Walmart, believe it or not, I was shopping for water because there was a water main break here. We had no water. So I literally went to Walmart, the modern day well, to buy some water. Okay. So it was also God kind of hitting me in the face with that. But while I was there, there was a song by Madonna on. I kind of wanted to dance, but we'll let that go. After Madonna came a song by U2, the Irish rock band. Must have been like 80s night at Walmart or something, but I enjoyed it. So U2 comes on, and I love the lead singer Bono is a great Catholic who is able to put a lot of his kind of just longing, his desire into his music, this almost ache for God. And in fact, I mean, they wrote a song called Desire. It's like, desire, this is rock beat going behind it. And it's just driving forward to just this desire that's just constant and pounding that we have these desires. But the song that came on the Friday night when I was over there was a song that Bono wrote when he was kind of toying with gospel a little bit, trying to work his faith into the music, and he's talking about all the things that he has chased after and tried to go after to find fulfillment. He sings, I have climbed the highest mountain, I have run through the fields, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. He still hasn't found what he's looking for. He's tried everything. He's gone everywhere. He's tried everything. And he has not been able to find what he's looking for. I think it's exactly what this woman at the well is experiencing, what those pictures I saw. It's what you and I experience all the time when we keep trying to find fulfillment and happiness in things that ultimately don't fulfill, that can't satisfy our thirst. We tried money, drugs, sex, power, influence, the things of the world, entertainment, sports, whatever it is. We go and we go, we keep coming back and we keep getting thirsty and we keep going back to the same wells and it doesn't satisfy. We still haven't found what we're looking for. And into that comes Jesus. Just like he meets this woman at the well, he comes to our life to meet us in the middle of Washington Square, New York, in the middle of Osawatomie. Jesus comes and he says, you're thirsty. Let me tell you about the water I want to give you. And of course, what Jesus wants to give us is not just water. He wants to give us himself. Only Jesus can satisfy these desires, ultimately, that we have. Only Jesus. That's why the woman at the well is able to say, well, I know the Messiah is coming. I know that there is one coming who could do these things. Jesus says, I am he, the one speaking with you. He says that to us too, as we come to him and say, Lord, we've gone after all kinds of things. There's got to be something that satisfies this thirst. If we still haven't found what we're looking for, maybe we're looking in the wrong place. Maybe we hear Jesus come to us today and say, I am he, the one speaking with you. I want to satisfy your thirst with living water. That brings me to the song that I heard on the radio yesterday on the way up to the funeral. This is by a contemporary Christian group. I was listening to XM Radio and heard the group Need to Breathe, a Christian group, and they have a song called Testify. It's about coming to the fountain to be satisfied, and that fountain could be baptism, where we testify. But it also refers to this need to be satisfied. They sing, give me your heart, give me your song, sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. That desire to be satisfied, to bring the song, as it were, of our life, the desires, the song, to sing it with all our might, absolutely. Have the desire, sing our song, say what we want, but then come to the fountain to be satisfied, to come to Jesus and receive the real satisfaction that lasts. The final kind of part of this story then is the line from that same Need to Breathe song that got me thinking about all this was a beautiful line that sings, mist on the mountain, rising from the ground. There is no denying, beauty makes a sound. And that line, "Beauty makes a sound," reminded me of my trip to the Nelson, coming full circle, because at the end of this rather bleak photography exhibit was something you would not expect to find at an art museum. There was an audio sculpture. It's interesting because it's called 40 Voice Motet. It is an artist who took 40 singers, the Salisbury Choir, and they sang a beautiful piece of music written in the 1500s by one of the most famous Catholic composers ever, Thomas Tallis. And he wrote a 40-voice motet called Spem in Alium. Spem means hope. The whole thing talks about hope and no one else but God. So at the end of this, she recorded 40 voices, each one of them with their own separate microphone. And the exhibit in the Nelson then are 40 speakers, one for each voice, arranged in a circle. And you can then stand in the middle of this while they sing and hear the gorgeous polyphony of this piece by Tallis. And you can walk up to each individual speaker and hear the individual voices. And it's amazing. The artist describes it as you should be able to walk into the middle of a piece of music. And it really is like that. And it is gorgeous. It's not what you would expect at an art museum to find an audio piece of art. And yet, beauty makes a sound. And I thought, how perfect to say yes, that there's these beautiful things at the museum, and sometimes beauty makes a sound. But I couldn't help but notice the incredible kind of juxtaposition of these very bleak photographs that just leave you feeling sad and unfulfilled. But then as you get to the end of the exhibit, you start to hear these beautiful strains of Tallis. And then you walk into the middle of this circle of speakers, and you stand in the middle of this, and it was beautiful. I love this music. It is the music that everyone recognizes as Catholic music. It's our music. People, though, the reactions surprised me, because some people were just like holding each other and standing there. Some people were crying. I'm like, well, this is beautiful, but I wonder what is moving them so much. And then, the thing that most struck me is right outside the exhibit, they had a wall in which it said, "Share your experience." And then they had paper, and you could write down what you would experience while listening to the music and put it right up on the wall. Well, I started to look, and there may be like 100 of these pieces of paper. And one of them is like, "Praise God for this beautiful music." And I'm like, okay, we had the token Catholic that will come and give praise to God that it is, in fact, sacred music. I'm like, nice. But then I started to read the others. And there are 100 of these. And people are writing, "I've never felt so close to God. This music is the most religious experience I've ever had in my life. I felt like I was on top of a mountain and I could see clearly everything. I felt healing. I felt the presence of God." One person drew a little peace sign and wrote peace, love, and polyphony. They're writing things about their experience of God from hearing this music. And now, mind you, they didn't have the words. It's in Latin. All they know is that it's sacred music and it's something about hope and God. That's it. And from that, just hearing this music, people are expressing that they're having some of the most profound experiences of their life. And I was just stunned by that. Like, what is it? I mean, it's beautiful music, but maybe I'm just used to it. And then it reminded me of this reading to say, look how thirsty people really are out there. They are so thirsty that they've never actually heard beautiful music like this. And when they hear it, they're just so moved that they cry and they feel close to God even when they don't know all the words of the piece. We just see how hungry and thirsty our world is for God. They're like this woman who keeps coming all over the place knowing that they're thirsty and just can't get filled. This is why if we want to go out and evangelize, if we want to go bring other people in, we don't have to go out with fancy arguments. A lot of people think, well, I can never go out and evangelize. I couldn't go out and share the faith because I don't know how to defend belief in Mary or the saints, or I don't know how to talk about the Eucharist. Or you don't have to have fancy arguments to go incite people to become Catholic. You just have to be thirsty and know where the water is. Because it's obvious people out there are thirsty. You just need to bring them here to the water. They're chasing after all kinds of things, just like you and I do. And yet we know that there is a place where we can come and be satisfied. That Jesus Christ really is the one that can fulfill our desires, that will quench our thirst, and nothing else will ultimately do it. People want this, and you can bring them here and say, this is it. Come here, try this. That's exactly what this woman did in the gospel. After she has had this encounter with Jesus, notice it says she leaves her water jar. She forgets completely that she was coming to the well, and she goes and runs and tells everybody, come see this guy. That's all you need to be an evangelist. Go out and say, are you thirsty? I know where the water is. The interesting thing about this talus piece that was being sung, it's Spem in Alium, the actual text speaks hope in no one else but God. What a beautiful thing to see. At the end of this exhibit of bleakness, of forlorn-looking pictures, there's a beautiful experience of God and being sung to people who don't even realize it, saying, God's the only hope. Hope only in God. It goes on to talk about how God is able to deal with goodness and weakness and beauty. And then that God would be merciful on our sins and that he would look on our lowliness. That's the beautiful text that Talus used. And it just permeated everybody that heard it. People need to have that experience. And they are thirsty for it. How will God use you to go out to help quench the thirst of others? There are a lot of people like Bono who've got this desire. They still haven't found what they're looking for. Maybe you can help bring them to Jesus. Maybe we can trust in Jesus more, that he is our only hope. If we do that, there's no doubt we'll find what we're looking for.